a feature with my name, you know, that drummer. Eastern Standard Time.
One, two, one, two.
The first time I met Sister Agnes was 1945. My father just died. So I was kind of down, like, you know. And when I went to Alpha, it's like I miss my father so much bad. And then Sister Agnes just started to look after me. You know, she good, man. She nice, man. She kind.
She really loved music.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
Did she buy records all the time? Because she had a massive record collection.
Yeah, well, she always send me down to get it done by And sometimes people bring records and give her and that, you know. She's sweet, man. I can see her right now laughing.
One scotch, one bourbon, one beer.
I've just stepped through a doorway into a little bit of musical history. Packed into this rehearsal room in South London are some of reggae music's most influential figures. They're practicing for a charity concert, raising money for a school, thousands of miles away in the Caribbean. And it's all in the name of the nun who nurtured reggae. Rico Rodriguez, amongst the most influential trombonists of post-war Jamaican music, is one. So is the man who gave backing brass to Bob Marley's Wailers, Vin Gordon. Then, there's the legendary Don Drummond, who practically defined ska music in the late 1950s and was once described as probably the finest trombone player in the world. They're all proud to be Alpha Old Boys, alumni of the Alpha Boys School in a poor suburb of Kingston. All of the music in this programme comes courtesy of the prodigies of the woman who helped to run that school, Sister Mary Ignatius Davis.
Alpha Boys School is a school that caters to the unfortunate. It teaches them trades that they can earn a living after they leave here, and some go abroad.
From the moment she entered the school in 1939, she began communicating her passion for music. She herself had been taught by nuns and had been impressed by their concern for the poor. It was that which motivated her to join the Sisters of Mercy, teaching at the Alpha School, which had been set up in 1880 to educate some of Jamaica's more troubled children.
One of the best things I saw her in her office one day, she was jigging.
Another former pupil is Owen Gray.
But I didn't went in, the, you know, I just looked through and she was jigging and she smiled and she sit down and she do her hands like that on the table. And it's like she says, "Thank you, Lord."
So she loved to dance to the music too.
She does. She does. She does.
They would go back to Charlie Parker, Louis Armstrong, but she also had a lot of American R&B blues records, and even including records by the likes of Chuck Berry, for example. So she had it was a very appropriately Catholic taste that she had.
Come dance with me. Yes, Dizzy. Bring your cool trumpet and self and start... everyone tripping the light fantastic tour.
But if a nun with such a diverse record collection is hard to come to terms with, then how about this? On Saturday nights, she'd run her own mobile disco, a Jamaican-style sound system, standing behind the turntables, spinning discs, dressed in a full nun's habit, dwarfed by the giant speakers.
She had one of the first sound system in Jamaica.
She was like a disc jockey.
Yes, she was, and she used to spin some, you know, and Saturdays. She would set it up at our dining room and she would say, "Listen to this one." And she'd play Boots Randolph and all those guys. Say, "Listen to the saxophone. J.J. Johnson," because she know them. She says, "Listen to this trombone." And we listen. And the sound system now got so popular that it used to go on the road.
She didn't just encourage their music. She also taught them sports, cricket, tennis and boxing. She liked nothing better than donning a pair of gloves to take on boys who were twice her size and weight. But she thought it was her Christian duty to teach them something which would prove more useful than Shakespeare on the rough streets of Kingston.
She'd bowl the ball, show you how to bowl, how to make strokes.
So she wasn't just a musical nun, she was a sporting nun as well.
Yes, she would play tennis with you. I can't beat her.
We'll be right back. By the 1950s and 60s, alpha-trained musicians were suddenly finding themselves in huge demand. Jamaica was changing as it headed towards independence from Britain. It wanted a new, self-confident musical voice. Studio One was set up to record Jamaican music, packed full of brass instrument players from Alpha.
Very significantly, several members of the Scatterlite, who were really the foundation of Jamaican music, went to Alpha, and principally, Jamaica's master of the trombone, Don Drummond, the trumpet player, Johnny Dizzy Moore, the alto sax player, Lester Sterling, and the tenor sax player, Tommy McCook, who was really the group's leader. They all went to Alpha. They became really the house band at Studio One. Burning Spear once referred to it as, you know, the university of music in Jamaica.
I saw her the week before she died, yeah? And I said to her, I say, to me, you are my living saint. And she laughed, you know. And she said, oh, nice of you, Thornton, Edward, you know. I said, you are my living saint. So I was lucky to see her, you know, and talk, you know.
I don't see anyone right now would really take her place.
Sister Ignatius's role in school life came to an end on February the 9th, 2003. There was a genuine outpouring of grief in Kingston. Her funeral was a grand musical get-together. For weeks, the letters pages of the Daily Gleaner were filled with grateful tributes from old boys. It was a time for those that she taught to reflect on what they owed her. What would have happened to you, do you think, if you hadn't gone to that school, hadn't come under Sister Ignatius's care?
My personal belief, I'd probably in prison or die today. That's what I think.
You wouldn't have been a musician?
No, I don't think so. I tell you, I would be probably in prison or on a 6'6". I was very rotten. You see, a friendship is better than silver and gold. A love is for us all. Music alone shall live. And then if you can pass that on, because she tells me, she says, Martin, always remember Alpha, and what you can do for the boys at Alpha, do it to your best. She's a great person, all right?